This week, many will remember the 30th anniversary of the People Power Revolution. Yet, 30 years since, many are now raising questions of legitimacy of that revolution. And some are asking, was it worth it at all? There is even a movement that is seeking to rehabilitate the image of the former dictator, President Ferdinand Marcos. I visited one website this week, or last week, a website that is dedicated to exalting him as the most effective and intelligent president the Philippines ever had. But lest we forget, there were many sins of the dark regime of the dictatorship, the human rights violation, and one other thing that is relevant to our subject is they were guilty of ill-gotten wealth. In fact, they were entered into the Guinness Book of World Records as having the biggest theft of all time. So they were known as the conjugal profligacy. Mag-asawang sobra ang kanilang gastos, paggamit ng pera, pagwaldas. At isang bagay ito na huwag natin kalimutan na pumapailalim sa paghahatol ng Diyos. Paano natin kinukuha ang ating yaman, kabuhayan, paano natin ginagamit, how we acquire, how we spend our wealth, it is something that stands under God's judgment. Now, for several Sundays now, we have been occupied with this subject in our afternoon discourses, and we want to focus our attention on whether we are spending, if we may profess to acquire our wealth honestly. The question now is, are we spending it with a Christian motive, and are we giving in a manner that is consonant with the teachings of Scripture? I have always reminded you that this subject does not occupy our pulpit, but because our text, these two chapters of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, are concentrated and packed with teachings concerning giving, we do not want to avoid it. Rather, we should learn and examine ourselves whether our attitude and behavior concerning our money is in accordance with Scripture. Itong mga huling kabanata na ating pinag-aaralan ay punong-puno ng mga pagtuturo tungkol sa kaloob at pagbibigay na nararapat nating pag-ukulan ng pansin. And one paramount principle I have underscored again and again is that Christian giving is called here a grace. Before it is an obligation, before it is a duty, it is a grace because it is a response to God's grace in Christ. And that should breed liberality. And also, the chief character of the individual giver that God seeks is that of cheerful giving. God loves a cheerful giver, we are told. But we also warned you, there has also been a warning against misuses of promises in Scripture concerning giving. This often happens when one misinterprets Old Testament prophecies addressed to Israel in their land context and then use them for individual prosperity, and the result is a prosperity theology, a prosperity gospel, and we reject that. But there are promises in the passages that we have been studying. One such promise tells us that the grace of liberal giving has the promise of abundance and sufficiency. And I immediately explain that that abundance connects to good works, while the sufficiency connects to all things. Gusto natin laging baligtarin. Gusto natin ng abundance o masagana sa mga bagay, at pagkatapos pagdating sa mabubuting gawa, sapat na sa atin yung kaunti. And Paul is very clear that when one gives liberally, the promise is abundance in doing good works while sufficiency in all things. Now, Paul continues the language of promise as we have seen last week, and just remember that this is directed to those who give liberally, and last week we saw the expression sowing and reaping, the multiplying, and there I draw the promise that the liberal giver is promised supply for work and growth in righteous living. The supply of God is not separate or isolated from the means of acquiring income, and that is through work. Hindi sinabi rito na ang pangako niya, basta ikaw ay nagbibigay, ikaw ay pagkakalooban mula sa kung saan, kundi sa proseso ng paghahasik at pag-aani, doon ibinibigay ng Diyos ang kanyang pagpapala. And I draw the principle that this is in the context of our labor. Now, I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's once again begin with verse 10, but let's move on until verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 to 14. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all your generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Now, in this passage, note the words thanksgiving. And in one occasion, in fact, it is in the plural, thanksgivings to God. Then glorifying God. It speaks of exceeding grace of God. As Paul is drawing to a close of this exposition about giving, he waxes with words that are very God-centered. The thing that thrills him most about the giving of the Corinthians, while indeed it helps the saints, it sustains churches, what thrills him most is what it does to God. That God is going to receive thanksgiving, that God will be glorified, that his exceeding grace is going to be manifested to all the saints. And I'm putting all of this under the category of kingdom glory. And by the way, that explains my change of message title. As I go deeper into examining this passage, I think that is the more appropriate, that this giving in the mind of Paul is for kingdom glory. Let me put the message in this way. The prospect of expanding the kingdom drives the saints' sacrificial service. Ang pag-asa ng paglaganap ng kaharian ay nagtutulak sa mga mananampalataya, sa mga banal, ng masakripisyong paglilingkod at kasama rin ang pagbibigay. The prospect of expanding the kingdom drives the saint's sacrificial service. So from the promises that the giver may tap into the word of God, Paul now, as it were, rises higher. He reflects on higher issue. He is telling the Corinthians, beyond the promises and what benefits we may gain by giving, look at it from how it bears on the kingdom. Huwag nyo lang isipin ang pangako para sa inyo kapag kayo'y nagbigay. Huwag lang kayo mag-isip ng mga pagpapala na nakarugtong sa ating matapat at maluwag na pagbibigay. Ang sinasabi ni Apostol Pablo, higit sa pangako, higit sa mga pakikinabangan natin, tingnan ninyo ang ginagawa ng inyong paglilingkod at ng inyong pagbibigay sa kaharian ng Diyos, sa kanyang kaluwalhatian. And that is how one can be driven to more sacrificial service, including more sacrificial giving, when his thoughts are more thrilled by the kingdom of God. And there are two things that I attach to this. First, kingdom glory as motive. Ang kaluwalhatian ng kaharian bilang motibo. Kingdom glory as motive. And secondly, kingdom growth as objective. Ang paglago ng kaharian bilang layunin. Kingdom growth as objective. So first of all then, what thrills the Apostle Paul is that he is motivated by the glory of the kingdom of God. Listen to his words. the administration of this service, that is their giving, not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. He is saying, look beyond the results of benevolence to the saints. Look at what it does to God's glory, to God's kingdom. We learn here that in our service, and that includes in our giving, the honor of God should be the higher consideration than just what it does to people. In this case, more than just benevolence. The higher consideration for the saint, for the believer, is the honor of God. You see this in the words, not only. Paul is telling them, do not only look to what it does to the saints in helping them. Huwag nyo lang tingnan kung anong pagtulong ang ginagawa sa pakinabang ng mga kapwa natin, mga mananampalataya. Tingnan ninyo ang ginagawa nito sa Diyos. So Paul is telling the Corinthians, have a higher motive than just the blessing of giving in terms of benevolence to the saints. And more than that, Paul is saying there is abounding many thanksgivings to God. Well, this is peculiar. Thanksgiving in the plural. The only other time that this plural is used in the whole of the Bible is way back in Nehemiah 12:27, where the context is the assembly for worship. This is parallel to the worship of the people of God in singing, in praising, and then thanksgivings. In other words, there is something of a thrill that Paul feels to think of a worship service in the church because they have been the recipients of service and of giving, that their service is full of thanksgiving to God. And that thrills the Apostle Paul to think that thanksgiving is rising to God. Paul is moved by the thought that God is seen as the cause of the liberality of giving, and now the saints are thanking him. And Paul wants the Corinthians to be moved likewise. More than just the thought that they do benevolence, it is how it redounds to God. Listen to his words, through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God. The ministry of giving advances God's glory. Paul is here putting together what he believes to be the most fundamental responses to God, thanksgiving and glorifying God. These are, for Paul, the two most fundamental responses to God. Now, the opposite of that is, for Paul, these two are also the most fundamental measure of human sinfulness. He said in Romans 1:21, before listing the many immoralities and decadence of the pagan world, what were they most guilty of? He said in Romans 1:21, that although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Ang pinakainuna ni Pablo, nakasalanan ng mga pagano, bago ang kanilang pagsamba ng mga Diyos-Diyosan, bago ang kanilang immoralidad, bago ang mga marami nilang kasalanan sa lipunan, ang inuna niya, pinakainuna niyang mga kasalanan nila, hindi nila nilulhati ang Diyos, ni nagpasalamat sa Diyos. Ang ibig sabihin niyan, pumalya ka sa dalawang yan, sapat ng dahilan para ituring na makasalanang dapat hatulan ng Diyos. Even before immorality and all their decadent lifestyle, Paul is saying what constitutes human sinfulness is the failure to glorify God, the failure to thank God. On those two measures alone, we are sinful. And now, on the opposite of that, the two responses to God that constitute the thrill for Paul about the result of the service of the saints is that God is glorified and God is thanked. Napapasalamatan ng Diyos at naluluwalhati ang Diyos. When God's honor is higher in our motivation, it will make us even wiser in the exercise of benevolence. So There is no separation between desiring to be benevolent, desiring to honor God, but by putting the honor of God higher even than benevolence, benevolence becomes the wiser. How is that? There are passages that may surprise us where Christians are advised to refuse benevolence. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. If anyone does not work, he should not eat. That is, the church should not supply his sustenance if he is lazy and failing to work. Now, how do you explain that? Not that we are to exercise insensitivity, but it is that we are after the honor of God. There are times when giving to an irresponsible person, even a believer, will not serve God's honor. So you have here a motive higher than just benevolence. It is seeking the honor of God in our service, and that includes our giving. So let us ask ourselves, is the honor of God the higher consideration to us? You may have caught the news of the passing away of the longest serving justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, Antonin Scalia, who served for 33 years, and he championed the philosophy known as originalism. The popular view today is that the Constitution of the United States is a living document, therefore changes meaning as time passes. It has no fixed meaning. Against that popular view, Justice Scalia stood by the principle what the Constitution means is what the original framers intended. You know, something like our hermeneutics, the meaning of the text is what the author intended. And that's what Justice Scalia stood upon, and in many of his decisions, he stood almost alone in defending the conservative cause of the U.S. Constitution. He was not a partisan, simply a constitutionalist. He was for the honor of the Constitution. And can a man like him be after the honor of a human document and for us fail to see that for us, the most we want to defend is the honor of God as we understand it in the Scripture? So by way of challenge, consciously cultivate an earnest desire for the honor of God in your service. And again, that includes in your giving. There should be those periods of honest self-examination of your motive in a line of ministry. Ask yourself, why am I doing this ministry? What is my highest satisfaction in this? Is it all about people? Or does my heart still thrill with sincere amen to the shorter catechisms, what is the chief end of man? And the chief end of man is not that I may hear people's appreciation and commendation of what I have done for them. Not even that I may see the happy faces of those whom I have served with my ministry. The chief end still is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And part of the enjoyment is thanksgiving. Now apply this to your giving. This is a service that gets easily disoriented away from the motive of kingdom glory. As I've said, Paul is thrilled by the thanksgiving to God and the glorifying of God. And he wants the Corinthians to share that thrill. So consciously cultivate that motive. Now, the opposite of conscious cultivation is taking for granted. If you simply take for granted that your motive is the glory of God because you have learned it, and yet do not challenge your motive periodically, it is so easy to lose the motive of kingdom glory. Because we are all surrounded by people who perhaps will express appreciation and commendation. And amidst that, it is so easy to lose the higher consideration. And this is what Paul is doing as he is drawing to a close. After considering many things, he now tells the Corinthians, consider what your service does in terms of the glory of God and the saints' gratitude to God. That is the greatest joy as far as Paul is concerned. And if you are not periodically challenging the baser motive we are so vulnerable to, you will miss the higher joy of seeking the honor of God. John Owen is known for many of his very solid doctrinal and polemical writings. I only wish more will know what I believe to be one of his masterpieces, his book on communion with God. It is not so much about polemics, that is controversy, or building deep theology. It is just about seeking communion with God, identified as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And that is what we need to cultivate, brethren, in our service, including our giving. Kingdom glory as motive, and secondly, kingdom growth as objective. Now, there can be no doubt that Paul is here thinking of the potential for growth of God's kingdom. The Corinthians' generosity will not only cause thanksgiving, the word he uses is it will produce thanksgiving. He is thinking of something productive. And again, he uses the word abounding, followed by overflowing in many thanksgivings. Not only that, he says, your generosity for them, followed by for all. Now, wrapped in all these choice words is Paul's anticipation that the kingdom will reach out to more. Ang hinahangad ni Apostol Pablo ay lumaganap ang kaharian ng Diyos. Hindi lang siya mapuri at maluwalhati, kundi mas marami pa ang maabot. At ito ang mga salitang ginagamit niya, lumaganap, umaapaw, wag lang sa kanila, kundi sa lahat. The mind of the Apostle Paul is fixated, if you may say so, on his desire that the kingdom of Christ will grow. And that should translate in our understanding of the mission of the church. It is the mission of the church to promote the expansion of the kingdom in the world. As basic as that, and yet it must define our service and our giving in particular. What the Corinthian giving proves, Paul says, it comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ. Dahil inihayag ninyo ang ebanghelyo ni Kristo na namamala sa uri ng maluwag ninyong pagbibigay, nahayag din sa mga tao ang ebanghelyo na iyan, hindi na ilalayo. So as a result, Paul can already see the beginning of growth of the gospel mission through the Corinthian gift. And Paul commends the Corinthian generosity for the people to which that gift was extended. But now Paul extends this further to the all. In other words, first to them, a definite group of people, and now to all. This means that the Corinthians entrusted to Paul that gift in order to reach people who they may never know. They extended it to people they already know, but now trusts Paul to use that gift for all, for people who will be reached by the gospel. And the mission as mandated by the Lord Jesus to the church must give us the same attitude. We should be on the lookout how to multiply the reach of the gospel. After all, the mandate of the mission is make disciples of all the nations. In its version in Acts, it is to the uttermost part of the earth. When Paul addressed the Athenians in Acts 17:30, the word is, he commands all men everywhere to repent. wherever there are men, there is the command of repentance. And I'm speaking to anyone here who has not come to that point of repentance. You are in your own niche of life, perhaps occupied with ambition, occupied with acquisition of income, occupied with reputation, occupied with many things. And the one thing that should occupy you, if you are not in Christ, is that you are under sin, and God is commanding you to repent. And wherever there are such men in the world, the gospel applies. And we want the gospel to spread. Now, no one church can do it alone. This is why Paul commends the generosity of the Corinthians to the churches. This is to be done by the cooperation of churches. So what about our giving? Do we stop at the need that we can see and calculate and no more? What Paul commends of the Corinthians is that they did not stop with them of the definite people they were helping. They gave thinking of the all, which means those who probably they will never meet on this side of heaven. They were simply occupied with the thought it will spread whoever it reaches. So what about our giving? The kind of giving that Paul commends is that which gives place to overflowing and to all, because there is something we are extending to the world. There is something we are wanting to spread to all the world. Of the present sports institutions, FIBA, or the International Federation of Basketball, is among the most successful because it is able to spread basketball in the world. It is considered now the fastest growing sports. And some anticipate that a time may come that it may even surpass football or soccer. I doubt it. But the success is measured by their ability to spread a game. Nothing wrong with that. Better a game than drugs. But our cause is higher than that. It is not basketball. It is not a game. It is about the eternal interest of men and women in the world. That is worth spreading. That is worth serving. That is worth giving. My challenge is something that will address us particularly as a church. Let us challenge and mortify any narrowness of vision. Now, there is a carnal way of going over the top about number games. I understand that. I get that. I've been to churches where the preoccupation is number growth, numerical growth. And that's carnal. But that is not what I am challenging our vision to see. I am talking of kingdom growth. We want more people who will acknowledge the kingly rule of Jesus Christ. We want in the world to have more churches planted in places where Christ, according to Paul, is not named. And in the kingdom of Jesus, there is no place for complacency in the littleness of the rich of our witness. We learned in our Sunday school this morning that the event that will precede the coming of the Lord Jesus is the spread of the gospel to all nations, and there should be no complacency. In his parable, Jesus did not stop with a small mustard seed, but he made his disciples see the big tree. When he ministered to a multitude, he sees no problem about the harvest, just the laborers. And he called himself Lord of the harvest. He is not Lord of fruitlessness. He is not Lord of barrenness. He loves to be known as Lord of the harvest. Now, what militates against that expectation is a narrowness of vision. The most selfish narrowness is that which sees nothing beyond self-interest and self-needs. That kind of narrowness will result in giving that is no more than is extra. It will not pinch on his income. But then there is the kind of narrowness which pertains only to one's own church. It is not selfish. It thinks of the church, but it can be parochial. It looks at its backyard and interest. He may be a good giver for his church ministries and needs, but no more. And this is not the generosity Paul commends of the Corinthians. And when God calls for the concerns of the kingdom that extend beyond the church, narrowness makes one self-defensive, self-protective response of the interest of his church rather than look at the wider interest of the kingdom. You know, we're comfortable here. We're a church that's basically living in a way that's profitable. And the danger is fail to see the wider interest of the kingdom of God. The challenge of our times is calling for an objective for the kingdom that will rise above narrowness of vision. We need believers and churches that will spare no sacrifice for the kingdom when God calls for such a sacrifice. I believe our church has that kind of calling. If it were my choice, I will stay. If called, I will go. And my plea for you, with you, is when God calls, let go for the sake of the kingdom. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones had a very profitable ministry at the Westminster Chapel in London, a ministry that goes back to before World War II. But in 1968, he decided to retire, and he still had much to offer the church. But his vision then was the wider interest of the kingdom of God. And because he decided to retire, that gave him 13 more years of fruitful ministry that was both itinerant and writing ministry that profited many, many more. What if the Westminster Chapel was a narrow-minded church? Thankfully, it was not. It thought of the wider kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we are called to do, and probably other churches too. And the commendation of the Apostle Paul here to the Corinthians is that they thought of the all. They thought of the overflowing. They thought of the abundance. I told you this morning that the Overseas Missionaries Fellowship, OMF, has declared this Sunday as Missions Consciousness Sunday for all churches that are missionary-minded. And one way to unite such spirit of concern is that OMF suggested that we sing what they believed is one of the most moving hymns of mission, and that is what we are going to sing. One of the lines tells us, from cowardice, defend us, from lethargy, awake. And that precisely is what I hope we are prepared to do by being motivated for kingdom glory and intending kingdom growth. We respond to the call, force on thine errand, send us to labor for thy sake. Let's close in prayer. Dakilang Diyos, aming mabuting Ama, nawa nga ay mahawaan kami ng ganitong diwa ni Apostol Pablo, na ang buong pagkatao niya ay nilulukob ng kanyang hangarin na ang Diyos ay maparangalan, malwalhati at mapasalamatan. So grant, Lord, that as we think of our service, and in particular of our giving, that we may have that drive for your kingdom. May kingdom glory be a high motive in our service and giving, even higher than consideration of benevolence and people-oriented motives, which may be good in themselves, but seeking to honor God is even higher. So we ask, Lord, that we may be challenged to examine our motives. If it is to people directed, grant that we may deepen our motive to root it in our desire for the glory of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may be glorified, that he may be thanked by your people, and grant that this may be higher than even our desire to exercise benevolence to our brethren. Help us also, Lord, to have an objective of the growth of the kingdom, that we can say with the Apostle Paul that our desire is abounding, overflowing of your kingdom, that there may be many thanksgivings to God, and not only thinking of a definite group of people, but thinking of those who we may never know on this side of heaven, yet by our service and giving may be reached by the gospel. So grant that we may refresh our thought that the mission of the church is to promote the expansion of the kingdom in the world. Deal with our complacency for the littleness of what we reach. Instead, grant that we may have that anticipation, just as the mustard seed has grown into a big tree. May that be our expectation as well. So deal with our narrow-mindedness, the narrowness of our vision that sees only our interest or even our church's interest. Grant that we may have eyes to see the world, the multitudes who are like sheep without shepherd, and we have the gospel to reach out to them. So as we have sung, Father, from cowardice, defend us, and from lethargy, awake, and grant that we may truly be sent forth to the errand that sees the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.